Morning, Kingdom of Heaven people.
Good morning.
How's my Cornerstonians?
Good.
Fantastic. I can see that God is working in all your lives. Are you ready to hear the Word of God?
Yes.
Are you ready to do the will of God?
Yes.
And the Word of God?
Yes.
You ready for it?
Yes.
You're going to apply it, correct?
Yes.
I won't have to come back up here, will I?
Yes.
All right, beautiful. No one. All right. And you'll actually get out of here in a decent amount of time, one note. It is a holiday, right? So we got plenty of time, don't we? Oh, okay. Beautiful. I lost the crowd. That fast. I had you and I lost you. All right. It's good to be here this morning with you. I'm bringing forth the word. You know, when I sit here on Sunday mornings, I usually see the back of your heads. I'm good to see the front of your faces this morning. It's beautiful. You look good either way. I must tell you that. It's awesome. And while I hear the sermons as I take notes and so forth, God also speaks in my ear while I'm listening. So I hear the pastor preaching and I hear God speaking, other scriptures that go with the sermon perhaps, or something I need to hear. So I just thought I'm going to make it easy on myself to share what I've been listening to that God's been speaking to me about, so now I can pour it out to you, because I think it would benefit you just as much. You good with that?
Yes.
Beautiful. We're going to begin in the book of John. We know that Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, and he taught throughout his ministry. What to be like, how to live, how to act, how to behave, what to say, what to do. He was a perfect example of love on earth, right? And then he wanted us and his disciples, certainly at that time, to become more like him, to be more loving, to be a better example of who God really is. Because God often gets a bad rap. God often gets a bad reputation because of sometimes the things that the followers of God do. But we're Kingdom of Heaven people here, aren't we? And we subscribe to what the Word of God says, and we take those words to heart, don't we? And especially the words of Jesus. And one of his last things that he said to his disciples is in John 13. And it was a very simple two-sentence phrase. And, you know, we have the Ten Commandments. He had the Sermon on the Mount. You can read about that in Matthew and in the book of Luke, which I'm going to go to later. But essentially, he talked to the disciples on the last night he was alive. He had washed the disciples' feet. He showed what real service was like. It's humility. It's being willing to give to somebody else what they need and not about taking it for what only you need. It's about getting to the lowest position possible to treat someone else in need for what it is they need most, love. And so Jesus set the perfect example of what love looks like. It's service. It's humility. It's being willing to do unto others, even if they don't do good unto you. Hard to do as Christians sometimes, is it not? But not for Kingdom of Heaven people. It's easy for us, isn't it? We want to follow the directions of Jesus. And in John 13, he says to the disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment. I always call this the 11th commandment, because we know the 10 commandments were given to Moses, right? But this is the commandment that Jesus, God himself on earth in the flesh, gave to the disciples and passed on to us as well. I'm giving you a new commandment, he said. Love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world, because remember he talked about the world a lot in the Sermon on the Mount, how we're different from the world, because the world doesn't know how to love the way God loves, does it? People of the world, they don't know any better. But we have to show them better, don't we? But he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So if we're going to be disciples of Christ, which is really a student of Christ, someone who's disciplined in being a Kingdom of Heaven person, not a worldly person, someone who wants to be an example of Christ, we are to do what?
Love
each other. And love those who don't love you. Right? Because that's what loving each other is all about. Because sometimes even us disciples, we can't always love each other the way we ought to, right? If I'm telling the truth. Any of you ever have a bad day like I do? Particularly in the car, I know. And our humanness kicks in, does it not? And the only person suffering in the car with me very often is Becky hearing what I'm saying to the driver ahead of me. And she says, they can't hear you. She says, I'm going to turn off my hearing aid so I don't have to hear you. Oh, boy. And then I have to have a little quiet prayer to myself. Oh, Lord, help me be more like you. I can drive with my eyes closed. What are you talking about? But anybody else struggle with that from time to time, not always able to love? We all are, right? Of course. And so Jesus, though, he gave us that as a commandment. In order for us to show what God is like, we have to be as God-like as possible, don't we? So we have to love each other. And how do we often show how we love each other? By what we do. Say. Do what you say. So you have to do what I say and do what I do, hopefully, right? If I'm going to preach the word to you, right? Some days, please don't follow me around. However, we can have more good days than not, right? If we ask God every single moment of every day, if we start our day with God, please help me be more like you. Help me be less like me, more like you. Help me be less like that person, more like you. Because sometimes we judge that person, right? But it is by what we say, more so even sometimes by what we do. And Jesus speaks about that. Did you happen to know that we say 16,000 words a day? Now, I'm probably closer to 40, 50,000. I am an overachiever. However, the average person speaks about 16,000 words a day. 95% of those words, 95% are repetitive of what you said the day before. No wonder you're bored. 60% are negative. Ooh, some days it's closer to 80%. Is it the 95% of the repetitive words you say? Do any of us really pay attention to what we say? So let's see what Jesus says about words, shall we? Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Yeah. We always think it's our mind, don't we? I do believe the mind and the heart are very well connected. If we see something, we see someone, we fall in love with someone, we get that impression in our mind, right? But where do we feel it? In our heart, right? We fall in love. Heart, it's a feeling, is it not? The heart is about feelings, correct? Words give us feelings, don't they? Correct? Good words give us good. Bad words give us bad feelings. Our heart condition matters. What's in here, hopefully, is the Spirit of God, right? You have Jesus in here. You do remember that, right? Now, maybe he gets pushed a little farther down with your food. I don't know. But some days, it's like our heart is off, is it not? I call that a bad mood day. And we can blame it on all kinds of things. The news, the world, life, problems, situations, people driving in front of you. But really, if it's a treasure chest, right? Think of it that way. It's a treasure chest. What's supposed to be inside of a treasure chest? Treasures! So what do you have to get out of that treasure chest if there's a problem with some of the things you say? Sometimes some junk gets in there, doesn't it? Right? Anybody here have a past? Oh, okay. One person in the back. Oh, two. Okay, beautiful. Some of the things that have been said to us, about us, that we have internalized and believed about ourselves and think about ourselves, go where? To the heart. We call that hurt. We call that trauma. So in order to have a heart change, we have to ask God to exchange that heart, to heal that heart, to help us heal those memories and those hurts and pains and bring only God's peace and love in and exchange it for pain into love. And when our heart changes by us constantly being in the presence of Jesus Christ himself through study, through reading the scriptures, through also just having time alone with him, alone where he can help you heal and be restored, your heart changes, doesn't it? How many of you have some good memories? Like the last sermon I gave, right? It was great. You remember that? Yeah, and this was pretty good too, I must admit, right? All of us have good memories too, do we not? Life is not just pain, is it? It goes from pain to Jesus stepping in and healing us. And what we believe about ourselves can change because of that, can't it? Right? Because what the world would tell us is not what Jesus would tell us, is it? He died for us. He gave his life for us. He suffered for us. He was willing to take our burdens and our cares and our worries and everything that bothers us. He's willing to take it from us and dump the junk out of our treasure chest and put more good treasures in. Isn't that exciting? So we're going to go on a treasure hunt this morning. When you look for the good, you find it. And how do you look for the good? You have to say it. Help me look for the good, God. Because sometimes we can't do it, can we, as humans? The primal brain of us is always looking for the next shoe to drop. How many shoes do people need? They're always dropping. You gotta get buy another pair because that one got scuffed up. What about the next path you take that's wonderful? What about the next blessing that you get? What about the next person that touches your life and it transforms it forevermore? What about all the goodness that all these Kingdom of Heaven people give us all the time? The sharing, the love, the smiles, the hugs, all the beautiful people that are in this church and outside of this church are treasures to us, are they not? That's what a blessing is. And if you'll count your blessings day by day by day by day, your treasure chest is going to be so huge you won't even have room for it in this room. But you got to dump the garbage out first, don't you? Make room. Make room. So sometimes you have to say, change my heart, oh God. Get the junk out. And pour yourself in. Nothing's greater than the love of God, is it? It's unconditional. You don't have to do another thing that's good, and God will still love you. Do we still want to do good things? Yes, out of the love for God and the love for others, right? So what you say about you and about others and even about God can also transform your life and the life of others. Can we say more good things to one another? Are you willing to say more good things to one another, including the person driving in front of you? What an awesome car they have. I love the color. I hope they're going somewhere good soon. So I can get where I'm going soon. It's better than, oh, anyway. let's see where it's going. Oh, Matthew 12, okay. Where am I going now? Oh, here I am, okay. More about words and what we say. What Jesus had to say about that. And you heard this in Matthew 12. And this is where the sermon came from, because as I think it was Pastor Tosh that was preaching this, if I can remember correctly. I am a little older these days. Verse 33, 12:33. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. Guess he's talking to? The Pharisees. Because, you know, they could criticize everybody, couldn't they? They had the little clipboard walking around to point out everything people went wrong. They're the people that brought the woman that committed adultery before Jesus and wanted her stoned. That's what the Pharisees are like. So Jesus says to them, you're the brood of snakes. And Satan, we know, is a snake. How can evil men like you speak what is good and right? Because they never could speak what is good and right, right? Because their heart was wrong, evil. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. There's back to that. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give and watch out for this one now. Anybody, you might want to keep your shoes on because it's going to step on your toes ever so slightly. I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Uh-oh. Help me say the right thing, Lord. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Especially those words of judgment about others, right? Judging yourself, what you say to yourself even. Every idle word. You know, I had a, what does an idle word mean? Without care or thought. In the Greek, it says this, something lacking worth or fruit. See how he tied it in? Void of positive purpose, power, creativity, or promise. Idle words. How many of you love sitting in a drive-thru with your car idling? You're sitting there and sitting there. Are you going anywhere? You want to go somewhere, right? But the car's just idling. No power. Absolutely not going anywhere. When we speak words that hold us back like that, idle words that are useless and powerless and have no positive influence on yourself or others, those are what idle words are considered to Jesus. And we're going to give an account for those. And I don't only think about it as a judgment day kind of thing, because I know this about words. Words have power. Did Jesus not say to this mountain, move, and it will move? Did Job not say, the thing that I have feared and spoke of has come upon me? Did he not say that? Yes, he did. Did God not say, let there be light? And there was light. Let us make humans like us. He said the word. And what happened? There it was. You have the same power. There's power in your words. That's why we have to pay attention to what it is we say. If you ever say, my aching back, it's starting to hurt already, isn't it? Because I kind of, you haven't been sitting that long. Come on now. Our words are significant when you think about them, positive or negative. And here's the problem with all that as well. They reflect our character. You ever been around people that like to gossip and complain? Oh, yeah. Don't you love those conversations? Can't wait to jump right in. Don't you love reading those posts on Facebook that are all full of blah, blah, blah? And you see the person's name and you go, whoa. You kind of wonder about their character. How godlike are they? But they don't matter, do they? Because you're in the room with me and those listening are hearing this, right? Our character is also judged by others by what we say. And some days, ladies and gentlemen, we're all in trouble, aren't we? So my cautionary tale is this. Think before you speak. It's okay to pause before you respond to something or someone. Even when you're driving, There's a brake on the car too, right? Most of us, though, we go through life pretty much habitually, right? We don't really pay attention to what we say, do we? But now you know better, don't you? Aren't you glad I'm preaching here this morning? Because I can help change your life through the power of God, right? Because the power of your words, when you put those words out, they never come back void. Otherwise, they're idle words, right? They do nothing. They benefit no one, especially you. We want to say words that encourage others, right? Encourage yourself. Lift others up. Lift yourself up. Do you need a list of positive words for me to give you this morning? Do you?
Yes.
Well, let's turn to Philippians 4:8. I'm going to get some help from the Word of God. Philippians 4:8 says this. Dear brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts on what is right, what is true, what is honorable and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So I'm going to add to the scriptures and say words that are true, that are honorable, that are pure, that is right, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent, and worthy of praise. Praise God, praise others, and praise yourself. That would be okay. And if you can't praise for somebody, especially the driver in front of you, those poor people that you're behind, pray for them then. And pray until you can praise. Pray to God, help me, God. Change my heart. Help it be more like yours. Do you know that Jesus hated no one? Not even the people that were scourging him, mocking him, spitting on him, beating him, crucifying him, judging him, the innocent man that he was. In fact, he said from the cross, he said these words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And if that just needs to be your prayer daily for the person driving in front of you, Father, forgive them. They know not how to drive. Help me forgive them too. Start to question your words. Are they valuable? Are they important? Are they positive? Are they helpful? Are they useful? If not, like your mom or dad or whoever in your family that was trying to teach you something as you were growing up, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. So I guess I have to end now. Of the 16,000 words you're going to speak today, I've kind of given you some this morning, right? You can hold on to. Grasp on to Philippians 4:8 on a daily basis. Get that in you. You can use Google, AI, ChatGPT, or whatever it's called, and all these other things that'll help you out there. But I'll tell you, if you want to know what really to think and say and do, you ask the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, as it is taught to those disciples, will teach you all things. And you will remember what Jesus taught. You've learned a lot in the last few weeks, have you not, from the Sermon on the Mount? I hope you've learned more even today. My prayer is that you be kinder and gentler to yourself and others. That you'll say things to yourself that if Jesus was overhearing, he wouldn't have to correct you or overcome your words. Or maybe he'll tap you and say, that wasn't nice. Be gentler to yourself. I love you. I care about you. We are children of God, are we not? Perfectly, wonderfully, beautifully made, are we not? Say that to yourself more often. I'm a piece of God. And I've got a full treasury of blessings that not only do I get to keep, I get to share with others. And please, Lord, every single day, let this be your wake-up call to tomorrow morning, okay? Will you commit to that with me? Because you said you'd do the Word of God. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, let your praise be ever on my lips. Let me praise you. Let me praise others, and let me praise myself, because God, you make beautiful, wonderful people, and you love us all, and I thank you for that. So let praise be ever on your lips. Are you with me on that, Cornerstonians?
Yes.
You ready, Kingdom of Heaven people?
Yes.
I want to hear good from you now, and I want you to tell me how great the sermon was later. And I want you to know how great an audience you are. I love you all, and I just give God the praise and glory that hopefully my words this day, because God gave them to me, have lifted up your hearts and added a little bit of treasure, diamond, gold, whatever it might be, into your heart. Let it sink down inside of you. Let the Word of God richly go inside of you. And let praise be what we do with each other. Promise? I promise too. God bless you.